the bench until 6 o'clock, and then it'll be baseball time on 14:30, about 10 minutes after that. Giants with a 6-10 pre-game three of the four-game set at Petco against the suddenly woe-begone Padres, though the Padres did break that four-game losing streak yesterday. They'll have a 6:40 first pitch, and then tomorrow the Giants have our time slot. They have a 1:10 start. But Phil will be on after the Giants wrap up tomorrow. He'll be at Fashion Furniture. I'll tell you all about the schedule for both stations because the A's are on 790 again tonight. A little bit later on, courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his fine business, Precision Civil Engineering. Again, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape, architecture, construction management. It's all there under one roof, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net. Terrific business. Ed, a proud graduate of the Lyles College of Engineering at Fresno State and someone who is a great booster for the Bulldogs, and will tell you about Engineering Yardage, the terrific fundraiser that Precision has for the Lyles College of Engineering a little bit later on when we go over the schedule for both stations. For us on a Wednesday, as always, our good friend Jack Furtig with us to talk basketball and football as well. And we'll get to that momentarily. But first, other lead dogs want to spend some time with you. One, our buddies at KFC in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. Again, they have the great special right now for a limited time. That's the $7 Phillips offer. That means crispy chicken, tasty tenders, or the classic famous bowl. Any of the three, each with a drink, sides, and even sweet pie poppers for just $7. Also, you can top it all off with a new peaches and cream sweet lightning soda. Check that out as well. Also on Tuesdays, you still have the long-running offer, which is the $10 eight-piece meal, whether you're looking at the eight pieces of dark meat chicken or you're looking at the original recipe tenders. Either way, eight pieces for just $10 on Tuesdays. And one more time, if you have a chance, when you stop in to pick up a bucket or two in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman, tell them thanks for being part of the Bulldog Bread Collective, part of the solution to balancing the NIL budget, if you will. If there is a budget, I guess there isn't, but just trying to keep the Bulldogs astride of their peer group, never mind whatever else is going on in the country with this. And it's just great to have them jump aboard the same way that Ed Dunkel has, the same way that Joe Cruz has as well. And I'll get to Joe and his business in just a second, but one other reminder about the KFCs, they are also promoting Brad Pitt's fine movie, F1 the movie, all about Formula One auto racing. 3 years to put that thing together. And I mentioned that Brad actually jumped behind the wheel, not of a precisely running F1 car, okay, but close. I believe it was Ollie Bearman, I think, that led him in the car, at least the backup car, not what was going to run the race. But Brad got in there and did fairly well, I guess, according to the telemetry. But I think Brad is a better actor than he is a race car driver, but it's a terrific movie, and I hope people check it out at the theaters right now. And I would imagine it's going to be streaming fairly soon as well. But anyway, stop by the KFCs. Tell them thanks for being part of the Bulldog Bread Collective. Pick up a bucket or two and give a review of the movie, if you will, if you've had a chance to see it. All right, the other reminders I mentioned, our friend Joe Cruz, his great business, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, celebrating its 25th anniversary in town. 3 decades plus that Joe has been a booster at Fresno State, giving directly to the university to help out with the costs of athletics at Fresno State. And again, if you're someone who works at a plant, if you're a maintenance person, if you're around a boiler service, a delivery person who relies upon valves, anything in that realm, if a valve goes down, your business goes crashing down in a big hurry. Not only does Joe have terrific components, pipe fittings, valves, sanitary fittings, food grade, chemical hoses, all there in-house, but the great aspect of his business, same-day estimates, same-day service, family-friendly business. You stop in at 4529 North Marty Avenue in Town Suite 103, or you give Joe or Gabe, who works for Joe, a call at 266-7473, which is 266-PIPE. Tell them what your issues are. They'll analyze it, set things up, so that you do not have that catastrophic turn that causes you to have to turn away from your business for a while. So it's really important, if you have any problem at all, to give Joe a call or stop by and see him, or go to the web at SuperiorPipeUSA.com, or Gabe has a direct email, gabe.sbs@gmail.com. They will find a solution for you in a big, big hurry. Also, if you stop in and you have a few minutes after the problem solving is there for your business, Joe can tell you what he does for Fresno State and would recommend right now that you head to the website at GoBulldogs.com. There's a donate link right there. Click on that. Take you to different areas of donation. BulldogFoundation.org has a link. So does Myers Champion Circle. Information for tickets and parking for all events on campus. And keep in mind, just a little over a week away from the home game against Georgia Southern coming up at the stadium. Also, you have the sports clubs there under ways to give, so your money goes directly to the team you choose. For instance, quarterback club for football, timeout club for men's basketball. Jack Furtick with me in just a second on the board of directors of the timeout club. They'd love to have more members, and Jack has said, you know what, call him directly on his cell, 559-287-3305, or hit him up on his email, FurtickJack@AOL.com, for more information. Also, there are links there for other sports, dugout club, for instance, for baseball, and other men's and women's sports as well under ways to give. And then finally, the aforementioned Bulldog Bread Collective, all about NIL. I brought this up in regard to what the folks at KFC do, or Joe Cruz or Ed Dunkel. Critically important, bulldogbread.com, bread as in on the table, BREAD.com. Marcus McMarion wants to hear from you. Any donation, big or small, any sponsorship idea. Chris started this at the station as a former Bulldog great and handed it off to a more current Bulldog great. Although Chris is still a very young guy because he's like 8 years younger than I am, and I think about 15 years younger than Furtick. So to Jack and I, anybody who just hit their 60s, they are spring chickens, trust me on this one. That having been said, Marcus is even younger, still in his 20s, for goodness sake. He wants to hear from you. Any sponsorship idea, any donation, bulldogbread.com, bread as in on the table, BREAD.com. And then finally, our longtime sponsors and friends at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. Want to give me a few minutes to tell you about the weather? I'll do that right now and remind you their special $99 deal is still in play. Get your AC checked out. A lot of heat still to come. And also, during the wintertime, you need your heat on so you can get both the AC and the heating elements checked at the same time. Contact Lee's, leesair.com, or 825-5337, which is 825 Lee's. Terrific local people. They have been in the Central Valley since 1981. You see the avocado green and blue trucks all over the place. As far as forecast goes, still very nice today. Pretty seasonal at 98, the low around 72. Then we start to heat up, 102 tomorrow. The lows are going to start to creep up toward 80, which is never great at night. 102, then 107 on Friday, 106 on Saturday, 104 Sunday, and then we start to trend down again. 102 Monday, the lows start to get closer to the lower 70s. Then 99, 98, 96, 94, 97 from Tuesday on next week. So if that forecast holds, if you can just get through this weekend, everything will be okay. And none of us think we're done with the heat, because we know that in October we can still be looking at 103, 104. But so far it has been a pretty tepid summer. And I don't say that to jinx things. I'm just saying it hasn't been what it was last year when we were up around 114 or so. So get through this weekend, and then if the weather forecast for next week is accurate, a 97 on Saturday would not be a bad deal at all for that nighttime kickoff against a very good Georgia Southern team. And by the way, one other weather note, and I brought this up with Jackson yesterday, it's supposed to be pretty nice in Lawrence, Kansas, as by the time this thing kicks off, around 5:30 their time, they're going to be out of the 80s, and by mid-evening they're going to be in the 60s. And the rains, if they're going to come, should be in the morning. So it's going to be, from a creature comfort standpoint, really nice in the stands, but also from a player standpoint, it's going to be very nice on the field itself. So hopefully that will help Fresno State. And again, that game on Big Fox, 3:30 our time on Saturday. And I will go over the five games, by the way, that I mentioned yesterday. I had a couple of emails saying, hey, you said it was one of the best slots Fresno State has ever had as far as exposure goes in the regular season. What were the other four games? I'll go over those before we get out of here today. Also, one other note. Benito, I got your email about the words of advice your dad gave you as a kid. Very similar to the advice my late great father gave to me. I can't repeat mine either, but very similar to what your dad told you. All right, that having been said, let's turn to our great friend and basketball analyst extraordinary. It's Jack Furtick. Jack, how you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm down in San Diego. I'm really struggling. It's all the way up to 78 right now.
I have mentioned this many years ago. My buddy Joe, his sister was working down in San Diego, and Joe went down to see her one July day, and he left here in town. And it was 111 here, and he wanted to stop by the safari park down there in Escondido, and he stopped in, and the guy goes, nobody's going to be out today. It's 88 degrees, and he said he felt like telling the guy, from what I left, if you understand poker, jacks are better to open. Don't hit me with 88. You're not qualifying for any complaining at 88 degrees when you're at 111. But, hey, Jack, it's all about acclimation, isn't it? And for the folks down there, anything, look, every day is the same for them, right? Little overcast in the morning, burns off by noon, somewhere in the mid-70s, everything is fine. You get used to it, you get spoiled by it. Is that fair to say?
I've acclimated very well.
Well, thanks. Yeah, I think it's easier. I have a hunch, Jack, it's easier to acclimate from here to there than the other way around, okay? I had a woman from Orange County one time in the back of the plane. That sounds bad, doesn't it? That's all I meant. Okay. Let me tell you, Jack, what happened back there. No, she was... It was a flight that went from Reno, then it stopped in Fresno, then it goes down to Orange County, and usually get all the people that lost gambling-wise coming back to L.A., and they have to stop in Fresno, and they're in a foul mood anyway. And it was blistering hot. It was a same-day trip for me. It was like 107, 108 when I left. And when we landed, of course, the first thing the woman said was, oh, look, we've landed in a vegetable patch. Because, as you know, you do not go into the tunnel there, right? And she was even getting off the plane. And she was complaining, and she had to go to the Holiday Inn. She goes, so I'm just wondering, how far do I have to walk? Do I need a cart or whatever? And I looked at her, I said, now you'll be just fine, knowing fully well that she was going to melt on her way over. That was my way of getting even for insulting my hometown. So there you go. All right. Well, I'm glad you're having a good time in San Diego, Jack. I want to start with Raymond's email because you would be more than qualified to comment about this. Said he looked at the Fresno State non-conference schedule, and we've talked about it in years gone by, and he said, look, it appears to be designed, talking about basketball-wise, designed for Fresno State to win a lot of games and to have a lot of home games. And he said, I understand all of that, but can't we get better opposition in regard to marquee value in here during the non-conference year? You used to schedule, when Tark was here, where it was whole different animal. But, Jack, you know it is not that easy in this day and age to get quality opposition, marquee value opposition to come in, correct?
Yeah, much more difficult than when I was scheduling. But you have to get creative. I don't know. I know we're playing Arkansas down there. Not in Fayetteville, but in Arkansas, I don't think that's a 2 or 3 for 1. I think that's just a guaranteed game. So it is hard to get teams here, but you do what you can, and one thing, I guess they had the schedule pretty much done, because you schedule maybe a year out, especially with, you know, home and homes, and you have to, you owe a team or they owe you. But, you know, I don't know, coming off the year that they had, you really want to win. You really want to try to get, change the culture, get the guys used to winning. So when you go into conference, you have a winning schedule, a big winning schedule, meaning, you know, like 9-2, something like that. And, you know, honestly, right now they need wins more than they need marquee games, because I don't know. Well, you know what? We'll find out next year when Gonzaga comes to Fresno. You know, we'll see how many people go to the game. And because that's, you can't get much more of a marquee game than Gonzaga, even though, you know, if you told somebody 40 years ago that Gonzaga was coming in, they wouldn't do backflips. But now you have a team that at one time was number one in the country and has been a perennial top 10 team. And we'll see next year how many people come out for that Gonzaga. So see if you pack the Save Bart Center, because it hasn't been packed. I don't know. I guess one or two times since it was built. So, it's, you know, we'll see. But right now I think the team's more interested in trying to get some wins, get a winning culture. And Mountain West is always difficult. You're always getting four or five teams into the NCAA tournament, which is, you know, pretty darn good for a non-Power Four league.
Right. Well, you know, in regard, Jack, to how you try to build the team, is it, you and I have talked enough about trying to build the team when guys can leave at any point, and particularly when NIL money comes into play. So I'm going to leave that aside for a moment, and that is very much akin to, other than that, how'd you like to play, Mrs. Lincoln? I mean, that is truly probably burying the lead to leave that aside. But taking it as a given, if you are trying just for this year to make your team the best it can possibly be in conference time, is there a danger of scheduling too soft? You and I were kidding around when Rudy Davalos was the AD at New Mexico and also was on the board there deciding who went to the NC2As. We talked about the fact that every year the Lobos were 10-0 when the year started, because they played every Compass Point team they could find, right? Okay.
That was
just to put enough on there so that Rudy then could say, like you said, he was going to leave the room, but he was going to make it clear that his 23-win Lobos should be in because of their great schedule, their great record, never mind their schedule. If you're Fresno State right now, is there a danger that you can build a false sense of security around a club right now if you schedule too soft? Do you say that is not the case when you're trying to build, period?
I don't think there is now, because I think you'd rather have a false sense of security than, you know, getting hammered in the preseason
and going
into the league 5-6 or 4-7, something like that. So I think winning is more important right now, to get the guys feeling, especially because you're banking so much on the 3-point shot, like they're going to do this year. I think you want confidence. You don't want guys thinking, I've said many times, you know, Jerry Tarkanian used to say, the more a player thinks, the slower his feet get. And he didn't want guys thinking. Some of the guys we had couldn't think.
But, I was going to say, mission accomplished with a few of them.
recruiting took care of some of that. I think winning gives the guys confidence. Whether it gives them false sense of security, it depends. It also depends on what your schedule is like. You know, I mean, if you come out at the gate playing at San Diego State and at New Mexico, and then you get, you know, Boise and Colorado State at home,
right?
You know, as opposed to starting off with maybe Air Force and somebody else who might be having an off year. Then your confidence builds, because you had a good preseason, you had a couple wins early in the conference, and now you guys, hey, who cares? You know, they think they're better. Jerry used to say his second guard had the green light. And I remember we went to Colorado State. I've told this story before. Kendrick Brooks was 0-for-11. And we got beat. And Jerry walked into the locker room at Moby Arena. And first thing he said was, don't worry, Kendrick, you'll make the next 11. So you know, he didn't want his second guard to have anything other than a green light. And, you know, confidence be damned. You don't worry about it. You're going to make the next ones. And he did it with every two guard he ever had and pretty much with the guys he had because he let people know what their roles were. And I think that this is the same thing. When you're relying on a three-point shot and Vance Wahlberg has made no bones about the fact that they're going to shoot threes this year. They're going to try to beat people by forcing turnovers, but even if they don't, they're going to try to beat them 3-for-2. We'll make a three, you make a two, and we have enough of those. All we have to do is shoot 33% to your 50. So, my point is let's win as much as we can.
And I think that is the philosophy that most of the fan base would like to see. And by the way, I wasn't casting aspersion upon the vast majority of players that Tark brought in to play. I was laughing because, and this is a story I love, Jack, the individual you do not have to bring up who, during the Great Alaska Shootout, wanted to know if they accepted American money up there, right?
When I was at Tennessee, we had a kid ask the same thing. So, you know, we also went down to the Sugar Bowl when I was at Tennessee, and this kid had never been out of Knoxville. Good player, never been out of Knoxville. And, we went out to dinner. He said, what should I do? He said, why don't you try the shrimp? And he went, okay, great. He asked him, how do you like the shrimp, Gerald? And he said, I really like it, but why don't he put the plastic on the ends? So, sometimes there are other schools that have, the same situation.
Shielded life, too, Jack.
They're not worldly, let's put it that way.
Well, that's fair. It has nothing to do a lot of the times with their intellectual capability. It has to do with the exposure they've had to other things, though admittedly, you should, in the 1990s, for instance, be aware that Alaska is actually part of the United States. That's probably not asking too much, all right? But again...
I'll tell you this, Tony. Steve Weakland, longtime SID, Sports Information Director at Fresno State. Prior to Fresno State, he was at Alaska. And he told me that their athletic director sent out, for the Alaska Shootout, sent out a contract offer to teams, and he got an administrator from another school that said, sorry, won't be able to be in the Alaska Shootout. We've already used our foreign exemption.
Well, okay. That's inexcusable. I would say. Assuming that you have some degree of some kind and maybe a postgraduate degree, that does not reflect well on you or the institution. That's why I appreciate you not bringing it up. George had a question about something I brought up the other day, Jack, and I want to address with you. I had said the other day, and you've heard me say this before, as a pretext to this, and that is that I believe if you were to take an objective view of what's going on in collegiate athletics, the best marriage you could find, or one of the most practical, would be the current Big 12 of 16 teams merging with the 8 that will be the PAC, because you would then have 24 teams, all of them basically on the same competitive plane, because I've mentioned that the great strength of the Big 12 is also its great weakness. Its strength is that it's well-balanced, and because of it, there isn't a team that is terribly attractive to a Big 10 for instance, or an FCC. The downside of that is it means the networks are not going out of their way to offer you more money than you've got right now, and I'm not at all sure you're going to get 31.6 the next time around. But if you could take what is going to be the pack and put it together, you could have 24, or in the case of basketball right now, 25 teams that all are hyper-competitive along the same plane that would dominate the West, because as much as SC, UCLA, Oregon, and Washington are the marquee value West Coast schools, they are perceived as playing in the Midwest right now. Even though they haven't moved the campuses, the perception is they are part of the Big Ten. And because of that, Jack, I think there's a real void to be filled. But the question George had is, if that's the case, why don't the two conferences get together? Jack, my answer is this. Anytime you talk merger, in reality, you're talking acquisition, not merger, meaning a more dominant side is going to take over. So if you are Teresa Gould and the Pack, don't you view that as, A, you may be out of your own gig to begin with, and A plus or A plus plus, you can't see how you can trust the other side from just swallowing you up in the next contract? Isn't that the real issue?
Yeah, and, you know, it's and one league, the bigger league, let's say in terms of name, has more money, which means that they're going to have less money once they accumulate you, acquire you, because the pie is being split by more teams. You're not bringing in the money. And really, you know, the markets are remarkably similar. You're not bringing in a big city. You know, what's probably the biggest market would be, what, San Diego, if you're talking about the big 12 and the Pac-8. Probably San Diego's the biggest market, I would think, of all of those schools, because you're talking about, you know, Lawrence and Manhattan, Kansas. You're talking about
TCU, for instance, is Dallas-Fort Worth.
Right, right.
But in reality, it's like saying that San Jose is part of the Bay
right.
Area market. No, it's not. It is as a DMA, but it is not in practicality. But, Jack, I would say this. If you wanted to solidify for the long term, and this is the problem, and you know what? This is the problem all the way to the government of the United States, right? Which is, what is to the overall benefit of the populace to the long term versus the
right.
potential detriment to any individual for his or her own well-being in the short term, right? I mean, that
right.
you know,
yeah.
we used to talk about party over country. Now, I don't care which side of the political spectrum you're on, it is apparent it is self over everything. Am I right about that? And because
Absolutely.
Of it,
yeah.
if you are a commissioner and you say, you know what is best for my particular conference would be this merger, but my job suddenly becomes superfluous because we're back to the old Meyer line, which it's all going to come down to money. They have more teams, they have more money, they have more leverage, and I'm either going to have to play a subservient role or I'm going to find myself being adiosed out of here with this quote-unquote merger. Jack, I don't know how you ever overcome that, and I would argue to you that Gloria Navarez has had this big-time problem when she's trying and has tried to get the Mountain West to survive. Isn't she really trying to get her own gig to survive just as much?
Oh, sure. I mean, you know, think about it. Who wants to legislate themselves out of a job? And, you know, you're talking about the Pac-8 being a non-Power 4 conference, joining the Big 12, which is a Power 4 conference. You know, who do you think holds all the cards?
And potentially neither will be a power conference.
Exactly, right.
Once
it's all said and done, there's a Power 2, and you're not going to be in it. So everybody's out for themselves. There's no question about it.
And
it's
the
sad,
other thing
but that's, you can't help it.
Well, and the other thing that was brought up again, and I want to clarify this because it keeps coming up. The of all places to go media-wise, the campus newspaper at UNC Chapel Hill, which of course is the big UNC campus, they're the ones who did the digging and found out a couple years ago that where, and you know this, Jack, most conferences, your grant of rights also determines your right to leave a conference. This is what happened with SC and UCLA. The grant of rights ran out. So usually those television contracts and the grant of rights that come along with them, that determines whether you stay or go. Somehow the ACC managed to get into a situation contractually where you can buy yourself out of the conference and at three times the operating rate, I might add. That's part of the lawsuits that the Florida states of the world have. But that doesn't alleviate your problem where ESPN holds your rights through 2036. And so one more time, I don't care whether you think North Carolina is leaving or Florida State is leaving or Clemson is leaving or Miami is leaving. Leave that alone as far as possibility. What is absolutely dead set right now is that ESPN, no matter who tries to get out of the ACC, ESPN holds the grant of rights to those home games through 2036. That's the deal they made when they started the ACC network. And because of it, you have this deal that it means that if you want to get out, let's say you want to go to the Big Ten, well, guess what? ESPN does not have a contractual interest right now in the Big Ten. That belongs to NBC, Fox, and CBS in different values. But ESPN has an exclusive deal with the SEC, which means if somebody wanted to get out of conference and they could find a way to get out of the conference as far as the criteria set forth to leave your brethren, Jack, ESPN just has to ship you from the left pocket to the right. That's where the change would happen. So I will ask you, with ESPN in control of the SEC exclusively, and it's been the greatest deal that was made by any of the networks because they don't have another interloper in there, do you see schools being able to get out of the ACC and then ESPN saying, you know what, we're not bothered at all by that grant of rights because we control it either way? Do you see that as viability?
Oh, absolutely. Sure. I think that everybody's talking about a Big Two, and the ACC is not part of it as of right now. So I think the four schools that have the most juice in the ACC are those four you mentioned. And if it's not viable to go to the Big Ten, and it is to go to the SEC, you know, come on. Can you go through this door and live, or go through this door and not be admitted? You know, or you can stay where you are. I think everybody's looking to move up. That's why the Pac-8 would like to go to the Big 12, even though the Big 12 is not part of the Big 2. Well, let's call it the Big 2, Big 10 and SEC. Everybody wants to move up. And that's why you said that, you know, Mountain West is struggling to stay where they stay relevant.
Jack, before I let you go, I want to ask you about Saturday. We've always talked, whether it's basketball or football in particular, and I know Pat Hill's been a close friend of yours for a long, long time, that you always want to play a high-profile team with a bloated reputation but not as much substance, as opposed to the other way around. What I'm saying is playing a P4 like Kansas, who you have a legitimate chance to beat, is sometimes a better gig than hosting a Georgia Southern the next week that doesn't have that national presence, but might be more dangerous than Kansas, for goodness sake. Do you see this coming up Saturday as one of those opportunities for Fresno State? And again, as I mentioned earlier, you've got only four other games, period, being played. One of them, the UNLV game, is not even on national TV. Another one, the Iowa State K-State game, is from Dublin, Ireland at 9 o'clock in the morning. The Stanford game at Hawaii is on CBS an hour later, and Western Kentucky has a game against Sam Houston, and I assume 10 other guys. on CBS Sports Network. So, Jack, you couldn't draw it up better if you're Fresno State. National TV, virtually nothing of interest up against you. Is this a game that the Bulldogs are absolutely lined up to win, in your opinion, despite the point spread?
I think from a coaching standpoint, I think it's certainly you wouldn't want to have this game as a week zero game. You know, you'd like to have more time. You have a new coach and you have a new quarterback and new coordinators. You would like to have put in more time. I don't know. I'm sure because Matt Entz is a football coach and every other football coach says the same thing. You know, we don't have enough time. You know, we don't have the time to we don't have the time that we need. So you're on the road, you have a new coach, a new quarterback, and you're going against a team with an experienced coach and quarterback. That puts you at a disadvantage. However, you take those games whenever you can, and like you said, it's better to play Kansas in week zero, than it is to play Alabama. So I think that the guys are going to be fired up. I think they just have to to get over the early jitters. If they can get through the first quarter, and let's say the game's still tied, I think we have a good chance to win just because all of those things that I mentioned are in Kansas's favor. I still like the Dogs. I think they're going to be better on certainly the defensive side of the ball, and they are. It's a question how they're going to be offensive. I like their chances. I think that they're going to be fired up as long as, they don't lose the game in the first, 10 minutes. The longer it goes at the beginning where they're hanging in there and they get those jitters behind and then the game's just another game and they have a little experience, meaning 10 minutes of it. Yeah, I like the chances. And better there than at an SEC school.
Well, I know this. It's going to be a challenge each of the first 3 weeks, and as we've said, they could win them all or lose them all or anywhere in between because it is that much a coin flip. I couldn't care less about the point spread. It's very interesting. John Wilner, who has written for years about the Pack because he's been up in San Jose, he still is. Now he will write about the Pack because he doesn't have a San Jose State or a local team, if you will, to focus on there at the Mercury News. Not that they focused on San Jose anyway, in Mercury News. They're much more a Bay Area newspaper, period. But he went ahead and did a mock-up of if they had the conference this year, using the schedules they're having right now. And he said, he's got the Bulldogs picked for 7th out of 8 teams. But, and again, understand, you're not playing a conference schedule per se. Some of it would be an overlap. But he said, the only reason that he didn't pick the Bulldogs higher is because by luck of the draw, if this would have been the year, they had the challenges on the road and the better chances at home. And you know this, Jack, in conference, and I talked to Jackson about it when the schedule first came out, strictly looking at the Mountain West this year, you much rather would have the games that you have a much better chance to win in that road mode and then have the difficult teams at home because you're figuring with the teams you could beat in either place, you might as well have them on the road. What you don't want are the teams that you need that home field bump for ending up on the road. So with that having been said, independent of what happens this week, 6.5 is the over-under total for Fresno State for the year. I'm not asking you to post a bet for me. But are you going to guess that this team will be above 7 wins or 7 wins and above when the season ends?
Yeah, I think so. I really like what Matt Entz is doing. He's totally focused on just getting things done. And he's has such a winning record. He's, to me, he's Kalen DeBoer 2.0. And I think that they'll win. I mean, if you don't think that what you're saying is true, check our record home and away against Hawaii. You know, we do pretty well in Fresno, not so good in Honolulu, independent. And as far as point spreads go, just remember this. The bookies make the point spread so that when they think 50% of the money is going to be on one side and 50% is going to be on the other side, you could ask the bookie right now what he really or she really thinks, because I'm sure there are plenty of female bookies as well, what they really think of the Fresno State game, and they may say, you know what, I really think Fresno State has a great chance to win. But if I ever put the game as a pick'em, you know, 90% of the money's going to be on Kansas just because of the you know, reasons we stated. So don't worry about a point spread. I would, you know, especially at the beginning of the year, because nobody knows anything about either team in reality.
Oh, you're right.
Especially
all I know
Fresno
is that
State.
Benito is there at Reedley said, that's great, but are you telling me to take the 12.5 or not? So you and I are being very reasonable. Benito said,
Benito, as long as you're betting your own money.
Yeah, well, exactly it. That's the whole thing. Hey, Jack, listen, I appreciate it. Enjoy that terrible weather in San Diego, and I'll talk to you next week, my friend. Take care.
I'll fight through it. Thanks, Tony.
All right, I hope people give you a call again, 287-3305. Join the Timeout Club. I'll see you if I saw him. Take care. We'll see you.
Go, Dogs.
You got it. All right, Jack Ferdy, we'll take a break. Come back, talk about the schedule, hand it off to Phil. He's got the full three for you. Then Los Gigantes, who are still in San Diego. Last night, they came crashing back down to earth. By the way, if there's ever been a sure bet, it was San Diego and the Dodgers winning last night after what happened to both of them on Monday. We'll go over the schedule after this as the Bulldog Hour continues on this Wednesday on Central Valley Sports Leader, 1430 ESPN. Everybody, welcome back to 51. About 5 minutes ago in the show, Phil comes up, his outstanding show behind the bench for 3 hours, and the Giants. Talk about the schedule in just a second, but first, if you're headed home a little early from work, or you're planning a dinner in a couple of hours, or a late lunch, keep in mind our friends that we remind you about every day at KFC in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman, proud sponsors of the Bulldog Bread Collective. We thank them for that. And also, we want to remind you about the great specials they have going on. The fill-up that is back and has been for the last month or so, that's the $7 fill-up crispy chicken tasty tenders or the classic famous bowl, any of the three, with a drink, sides, and even sweet pie poppers. Just $7, a great deal. Stop in the KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. Pick up an order or two, which pick up one of all three if you'd like. And also on Tuesdays, you have got the $10 eight-piece bucket offer that's been going on for a good long while. That's eight pieces of dark meat chicken, that's drumsticks, thighs, or original recipe tenders, eight of those for just $10. And don't forget, at any point when you stop in, try the new Peaches and Cream Sweet Lightning Soda. It's terrific. You've got the KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. Pick up a bucket or two. Tell them thanks for being part of the Bulldog Bread Collective, because it does mean an awful lot to Fresno State and to everybody in the Valley that supports Fresno State to have an international, national, and, of course, local branch of a company like KFC involved. Also, KFC right now promoting Brad Pitt's terrific new movie, F1, the movie all about Formula One racing. Really well done. Took them 3 years to put it together. So, again, stop by the KFCs and tell them thanks for being part of the solution at Fresno State. Another person who's also part of that solution is Ed Dunkel and his terrific business, Precision Civil Engineering. And he and the business allow me the time every day to talk about the schedule coming up. Again, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management, it's all there under one roof, 449-4500. Or precisioneng.net for more information. And one more time, Engineering Yardage, the great fundraiser that Ed has for the Lyles College of Engineering on campus at Fresno State for the last few years. For every yard gained through the air at home, donation made to the Lyles College of Engineering by Precision Civil Engineering. Its goal to unify athletics and academics to provide more funding resources to students. It's worked beautifully, and as we've said before, it's not only great for the university, great for the Lyles College of Engineering, where a lot of those engineers land at Precision Civil Engineering, but also it's a template for other businesses in the area on how you can benefit your business promotionally, but also help Fresno State and the community at the same time. And it is going to take that kind of effort. You'd love to have the David Booths of the world, you know, throwing in $300 million here or there, like we have seen in Lawrence, Kansas. That doesn't happen very many places, but you do have a lot of businesses in the area, I think, that could be creative the way Ed has been and line up behind Fresno State. So I hope it is something that helps lead the way. We thank Ed for allowing us time every day to tell you about the schedule, and so we will tell you. The Giants coming up 6-10 with a 6-40. Again, this is the third game of four against the Padres. They've split the first two. The Giants are going to have to go on a wild man streak to have any shot at all of the playoffs. The Padres, after getting the division back under control, after being back almost 10 games, lost four straight after the loss of the Giants on Monday. And that, of course, happened after they were swept at Dodger Stadium. The Padres were riding the ship last night. It'll be another 6:40 with a 6:10 tonight. And then tomorrow you will have a 1:10 with the pregame 15 or pregame half hour prior. So it'll take us off the air tomorrow. Phil will be with you today in just a minute, and then he'll be with you at Fashion Furniture tomorrow as soon as the Giants wrap up. Again, best furniture on the planet. Rod Avedikian celebrating another anniversary there at Fashion Furniture. Also, you stop in El Paso across from River Park, check out that furniture, the great conversation of Phil's show every Thursday, some good eats as well, and you can also give Phil a call on the Lee's Air Hotline, which is 559-320-1430. Phil normally with you 3 to 6 Monday through Friday. Also want to mention that Phil has play-by-play for you on Friday night from Collegian as Inglewood is in a good team from, you guessed it, Inglewood, California. They're there against Clovis East. And I do want to mention this. Some of the games in the Valley, beginning with the Thursday games all the way through Friday and Saturday, because they're games all three nights, some of them have already moved their start time because of the heat. So 7 o'clock starts may have been moved to 7:30 or 8 o'clock. Check with your school on game day to make sure you know before you end up missing some of the game. That's just, of course, to protect the players and also the spectators and everybody else out there. So we'll see how that plays out. The other reminder over in our sister station, 790 tonight, the A's who won last night, they've been playing better. The A's are in Minnesota, play the Twins 405, the Pre in a 440 first pitch from Target. That'll continue also in the next couple of days, and then both teams, of course, head on out over the weekend. The Giants will go to Milwaukee, and that's going to be a major test against a Brewers team that was swept in a doubleheader against Chicago. But that's a five-game series with the Cubs, and the Brewers are a legitimate threat to win the whole thing. So we'll see how that plays out. Very tough road trip for the Giants. The other reminders, we're with you at 2 o'clock each and every weekday. You can reach me, tdad1 at att.net, tdad, the number one, at att.net. Paul Metters back with his fine show, Central Valley Sports Report. That is 10 a.m. to noon on Saturdays from First String Sports on 1430. Everything for the station, 1430 ESPN, Fresno.com. You find the live links and podcasts there. Again, the high school games coming up starting this Friday. 49ers, Raiders, and Rams will be with us as the regular season starts. Still have the Giants, the A's, everything through ESPN Radio, through the World Series, everything with Westwood One, through the Super Bowl. Lakers get started in October, and everything the NBA through ESPN Radio. So a real busy time for everybody. So thanks one and all. And the final reminders go out, of course, to our great sponsors. That would be Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering, the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman, and Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. Thanks, as always, to Jorge and to Jack Furtig. I'm off tomorrow. I'll see you guys with Jackson live and direct from Lawrence, Kansas, on Friday. Phil coming up after this, then the Giants on KFIG Fresno.